praise you, Jesus. Father, thank you for the faithfulness. Thank you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. He that is faithful and true. Glory to God for that great grace. Thank you for him, full of truth and grace. Lord Jesus, thank you that you're here. Lord, thank you that you love us so. Thank you for your spirit, Lord God. Thank you for the anointing. Lord, thank you for the oil that you pour forth upon your people. God, let us just be dripping in it today. Lord, anoint us, Lord Jesus, with your love. God, help us to wake up, Lord. Help the eyes of our understanding to be enlightened with your passion for us. And God, what you see for us, Lord Jesus, and how you are so for us. And if you be for us, nothing can be against us, God. Nothing. Nothing. You are all powerful, Lord God. Let us trust in you today. It's because of you and you alone. You are the faithfulness of God. Christ in us is the hope of glory. Hallelujah, that Christ liveth in me. Now, Lord, in that, God, we have it all. Help us to believe you more. God, help us to let this life grow up into you in all things. Lord, thank you for this calling. Thank you for the simplicity of the gospel of Christ, that the work is finished. Thank you, God. Once and for all is exactly what it means. It is done. Now let us just rejoice in the risen Savior. Let us live life abundantly. Come forth boldly as the mighty sons of God. And we ask you in Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. If you'd open your Bibles with me today, we're going to the 2 Kings chapter 3. We're going to do some reading today. Praise the Lord. Aren't we thankful that we read and search these precious scriptures? This is what it's all about. But in 2 Kings chapter 3, it says, now Joram, the son of Ahab, began to reign over Israel in Samaria, the 18th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and reigned 12 years. And he wrought evil in the sight of the Lord, but not like his father and like his mother, for he put away the image of Baal that his father had made. Nevertheless, he cleaved unto the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which made Israel to sin. He departed not therefrom. And Mesha, king of Moab, was a sheep master, and rendered unto the king of Israel 100,000 lambs and 100,000 rams with wool. But it came to pass, when Ahab was dead, that the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel. And King Joram went out of Samaria the same time, and numbered all Israel. And he went and sent to Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, saying, the king of Moab hath rebelled against me. Wilt thou go with me against Moab to battle? And he said, I will go up. I am as thou art, my people as thy people, and my horses as thy horses. And he said, which way we go up? And he answered, the way through the wilderness of Edom. I love that. See, they're going to go through the wilderness into that desert. So the king of Israel went, and the king of Judah, and the king of Edom. And they fetched a compass of 7 days' journey, and there was no water for the host and for the cattle that followed them. And the king of Israel said, alas, that the Lord has called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. And I thought, you know, what a guy. He asked me to go help him, and now this is what we get after a week. You know, if it was up to me, I probably would have turned around and said, enough of you, I'm going back, huh? But God, Jehoshaphat said, isn't this wonderful? See, he looked for the word of the Lord, didn't he? Is there not here a prophet of the Lord, that we may inquire of the Lord by him? And one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah. And Jehoshaphat said, the word of the Lord is with him. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Edom,
went down to him. And Elisha said unto the king of Israel, what have I to do with thee? Get thee to the prophets of thy father and to the prophets of thy mother. And the king of Israel said unto him, nay, for the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. Isn't that precious? I always love that one too. Elisha said, what are you bothering me for? You've been at those prophets. Why don't you go see them? No, we're in trouble. We need God. And Elisha said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, surely were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not look toward thee nor see thee. Isn't that wonderful? It rains upon the just and the unjust. Praise be to God. But now bring me a minstrel. And it came to pass when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. And he said, thus saith the Lord. And here's our text for today, these next few verses here. Make this valley full of ditches. Now remember, they're in a desert. Make it full of ditches. For thus saith the Lord, ye shall not see wind, neither shall ye see rain. Yet the valley shall be filled with water, that ye may drink, both ye and your cattle and your beasts. And this is but a little thing in the sight of the Lord. He will deliver the Moabites also into your hand. And ye shall smite every fenced city and every choice city, and shall fell every good tree, and stop all wells of water, and mar every good piece of land with stones. And it came to pass in the morning, when the meat offering was offered, that behold, there came water by the way of Edom, and the country was filled with water. I love it. And how the Lord brought this to me, I was thinking, you know, we haven't even been about a month after the new year. And I know all of us had such grand plans and ideas. Oh, we got a new year, here we go, and my goodness, it's going to be all brand new. Hadn't even been 30 days, and oh my goodness, we're still stuck in the desert valley. Got news for you. You best get used to it. Now, why do I say that? Because your Lord, my God, has an affinity for deserts. He loves them. They're a special place to him. They're a place, brothers and sisters, where he makes the journey for Rebekah to Isaac. He takes Moses on the backside of the desert for 40 years to prepare him in that perfect testing. Now you're going to come forth as the man of God. That children of Israel, when they were stuck there in Egypt and they had the grand release, when he has caused them to take flight, and what does he pour them right out into? A desert. It's a desert. You know, and I'm finding out so personally, brothers and sisters, trial by trial, whether it's the Mojave, whether it's the Sahara, whether it's Death Valley, sometimes it is, I'm realizing why he does this. It's because the desert is the place that only he can be my only sustenance. And it's the truth. This is a jealous God. He loves to get you alone. He loves to have quality time with you. He does not like to be distracted. He loves to lead you to the place where, honey, you need me. I want you for my own. I want you in that quiet place where you'll hear my voice. My love, my dove, my fair one. Sound familiar? Now, I don't need you to say yes with a frown, because you haven't heard the voice that says, come forth, my love, my dove, my fair one. Listen to the voice of the Lord. Now, brothers and sisters, if we ever thought that somehow we were going to order up a lotus land of ease on our journey to the bridegroom, that was a mistake. I don't know who we were trying to fool except ourselves, because of the word of God. And it tells us very clearly that I may know him comes in the fellowship of his sufferings. And it does. Now, I'm not here to say I want us to just look at the myrrh and get a long face and walk around of, oh, woe is me, because I would never marry a girl like that. Amen? Think about in the natural. My wife's not here today. She's sick, so I can talk about her. If when we were courting, every time I saw her, she just was unhappy with a long face, it wasn't going to work. I wanted to actually kind of change her attitude and change her countenance. That, you know what, just by me being around, not to think I was so special, but that she loved me. That it would cause her to be happy, delighted. That, you know, some of the things that were going on that were so important and would bother her so much, bam, they're gone. I'm with the one I love. It's all right. And you know, by God's grace, that still goes on. Because there's troubles and there's different things, but God has graced me with a wife that, you know what, I look upon that wife and it's just good. Praise God. Now, those are just types, and I'm so thankful that God has given me those things. But those are the types that encourage me on for the forever. When I look upon Him, does it all just fly away? Does it all just flee, that weight of bitterness or indifference or whatever weight it is, to just lay it aside because of that love for me, that transforming love that by God's grace picks me up every single time, and it does. But brothers and sisters, I have to come to the place, as He talks to my heart often, son, what's it going to be? What's it going to be? We can either murmur, Lord, I'm in this desert. There's no clouds. There's no rain. There's no wind. There's no nothing. I'm just going to die. And I've been there. Maybe you haven't. But I've been in the corner in the fetal position with my thumb in my mouth. And it doesn't feel very good. It doesn't. Or, brothers and sisters, we can rise up. And we can feed. And we can believe God. And we can say, Lord, You led me here. God, by Your grace, there is something that's going to go on here. This is Your specialty. My enemies may be round about me, but praise be to God, I have nothing else to rely upon but You. See, this is Noah time. I love it. This is when He takes crazy Noah, and He sticks him in the middle of a desert, and He says, son, build me an ark. And not just an ark, but the biggest ark, the biggest boat that anybody's ever seen. I want you to build this thing right out here. And I want you to go get all those animals with your sons, and I want you to put them in that boat. And by the way, it's going to take you a long time to build it. Matter of fact, about 100 years. And then I'm going to flood the earth. Really, it is a wild time. We haven't even walked that. But Noah never walked this, nor Moses. It's a better thing. Now, brothers and sisters, we're in a time that we can receive great, great grace just like He did. In the middle of everybody mocking you and thinking you're nuts. Maybe the familiar friends and even a wife that says, curse God and die. Mm-mm. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And praise God for this encouragement, brothers and sisters. I'm telling you, even if it's been 100 years coming, God increased my faith to trust You. Just get out there and dig a ditch. Now you're kind of thinking where that might have come from. If I'm just digging a ditch. Let me tell you something. Don't you ever just say, just digging a ditch. It's the most glorious thing we could ever do in our lives. Dig a ditch. And keep digging that ditch. And dig that valley full of ditches, brothers and sisters. And I'm going to tell you something here. Watch on the faithfulness of God, because it's coming. It's coming. But see, in this portion of Scripture, there's so many different things. But God, help us to not be a doubting Thomas. Because He said it right there. He says, you're not going to see the wind. You're not going to see rain. You're not going to see clouds. You're not going to see how I'm going to do this. But I'm going to do it. Because I'm the I am. Isn't that wonderful? Brothers and sisters, we got all the signs we ever needed. We have the word of the Lord. This is it. God said it, and it is so. And God said that it is by faith. It's not by sight. I'm not going to do it by what you think, because, see, your ways aren't my ways. And see, if my ways were God's ways, then it wouldn't be by faith. If it was something that was natural for me to believe in God or some way to go, it wouldn't be some miraculous thing that God could do. It has to be that way, because this is God we're talking about. It's not of man or in man to seek the Lord. Of you, you can do nothing but bad. You can only bring up something that is refuge to God. Did we get that from the very first lesson with Cain and Abel? Cain worked as hard as he could. He labored as much as he could. He sweat. He brought the best of what his hands could produce. And God said, that's an abomination. Get away from me. Bring me the lamb. That's what I want. I want the lamb. And Abel brought him the lamb. We better reckon that the only delight that the Father has is in His Son. But you better reckon that if you're a child of God here today, that just so happens to be the life that you live. Is the life of the Son. So we can delight that we are highly favored. He looks at us because that's all he can look at is his Son. He looks at you as his very own Son. He cares beyond a care that we could ever even imagine, a concern that we could never even comprehend. But he loves us. You talk about a God that has got your back and has got your front. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. And he's working all things together for your good. These aren't sayings on a wall. They're not just things to pump us up for a time being. It's the word of the Lord. My promises are yea and amen. What are you banking on today? What is your confidence in today? Brothers and sisters, we're the children of the living God. The sons of God. Now are we the sons of God. Help him to help you to allow him to put that into perspective in your life. It's who you are. It's what you are to him. Why do we come to church? Why? I want to believe the Lord. I want to believe him stronger, more instantly, more mightily. I do, because I need that. I know I have that need. Because I faced it by God's grace, I'm weak. In a moment I'll fail, in a moment I'll be in the land of unbelief, but God. And I need to hear these things over and over. This is not some type of hypnotic thing. This is hearing the voice of the Lord over and over. The much, the more, absolutely. To tend upon these things without distraction. Praise God. Brothers and sisters, God said that this is a walk of faith. The walk of faith is what the Word tells you. The Word. If you're a child of God here today, I don't care what you're thinking. I'm telling you what is. This is yours. This is your life because you don't have the life that you had before you knew Christ. He has you now. You are his own. He bought you. And the life you now live is by the faith of the Son of God. Listen to that. It's by faith. That's your life. It's the word of the Lord. It's not living life by what my feelings feel. It's not living life by what my eyes see. It's not living life by what my friends tell me, what my professors taught me. It's not. Not even what my mom and dad may have raised me up in, if it wasn't the word of the Lord. I believe God. I believe that this word is the divine, only, and holy word of God. This is why we come here. God, help us to feast on this. I want to be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. We're in a generation, I'm telling you, it's here that He's going to have to destroy. The evil of man is waxing worse and worse. The love of many is waxing cold. Men have itching ears, and even God's precious people have itching ears for everything but the truth. Yes. I want to be pleasing to God. I do. And pleasing to God is not by my feeling. It's not by organization and all of these happy thoughts and all of the smiles I could bring to millions of faces. It's not. I'm here to preach you the word of the Lord. You please God by faith. By faith. And what pleases God the most is if you will grow up into Him in all things. If you will take the word of the Lord and allow Him to just grow it all up into your life. To grow in the knowledge of His love. See, God is not into the big things. He's into the little, intimate things. He looks at a widow's mite. He looks at a leper at a well. He looks at a blind man that everybody has despised. He looks at the lame, as He says, rise up and they jump. That's who He's interested in. He's interested in you. He's a one-on-one. He wants to get you alone. He wants you to hear this proposal. He wants you to hear that I'm going to have a wife. I want it to be you. And all you are is my workmanship. You're that precious lump of clay that has my total, total desire, attention, affection. I'm obsessed with you. My hands are on you. I want to mold you. I want to shape you after all my perfect and complete will. That's what this word tells you. See, God says, dig the ditches. I know most, if not all of us, are in very trying times. I don't know your shoes and you don't know mine. But I know God walked all of them. He became flesh and dwelt among us. He did. Yes, Jesus knows. And what He's telling you is, in this dry, thirsty land, instead of murmuring and complaining, go out and dig. Go out and expect from Him. Brothers and sisters, this isn't the question of can He do it or will He do it. The question is how much do you want? Do you see what it's saying here? He says, dig the land full of ditches. Not just one or two. Let me tell you something. We are five talent people here. Know the word of the Lord. To whom much is given, much is required. Come on, you've heard this love message for a long, long time. What are you going to do with it? I'm thankful to God if you've dug one ditch, and He is too. But this is the time. Go plow it. Get out there. And if the next day, if tomorrow is even a hotter, more parched, dry, people dying and failing all around you, God, give me the grace, give me the strength to go dig some more. Let me tell you something. There is sorrow in the night. There is some misery. It ain't joyous for the moment, but joy cometh in the morning. And just like those brothers and sisters, they found out. He said, dig it full of ditches. And I'm confident it was full of ditches because he poured it out. It was overflowing. It was flooded all the way to the gills. My goodness, brothers and sisters, he brought it down. And he's bringing it. The way of escape, we rejoiced last week. It has already been made. How much reward do you want? I'm not after this for my gain. Oh, no. I'm his inheritance. I want this investment of Jesus Christ in me to be a manifold return for what he has done for me. Oh, I want to please him. I want him to be so pleased by God's grace because I just said, Lord, I see how much you love me. I just want to embrace the love that you love me with. I just want to embrace every bit of your goodness to me. Praise God. I'm so thankful. This isn't talking about the law, brothers and sisters. He already fulfilled that. He nailed that to the cross. He that is born of God did not commit sin, neither can he sin. Get over that stuff. I'm so thankful to the Lord. There's Martha's all about. They're trying to serve and give this and everything. And that's wonderful. I thank them. But I'll tell you what, I want that place with Lazarus at the table. I want them serving me because it glorifies him. I don't want to be hanging on to a palm up there someday. That's not what he's about. He wants a ready wife. He wants her to rule and to reign jointly together with him. That's what this is about. This is what is in the offering. But we are in a time, brothers and sisters, that we can't live by sight. Oh no. My goodness, we start to live by faith. The eyes of our understanding, they be enlightened. We see things more real than what they are. You begin to smell it. You'll begin to taste it. Someday, I'm telling you, maybe every one of you will be running down in the basement. When you're ravished, you're ravished. You can't help it. Go ask King David. And he didn't even have the better thing. And he couldn't even keep his clothes on. It doth not appear what it shall be. But when we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Let's dig those ditches, brothers and sisters. Keep digging. That ain't of you. That's the grace of God that is with you. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you again. Lord, the simplicity of the truth. Thank you for your great love to us. Thank you that you tell us again and again and again, I love you so. Help us someday to just stop, to drop, and to look up and behold the face of the one who adores us. And let the transformation begin. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your truth and love. Thank you again for the anointing. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.